You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a brand new episode of Kyle.
Knockouts and three counts, ladies and gentlemen.
The other Kyle was supposed to say that, man.
I was about to say,
jeez.
You left that up. You got to be descriptive. There are two of us here now.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Pepper Kyle.
First time.
We have.
Am I not on?
We have a great moment for the first time.
Oh, yeah, our caller is calling in already.
Oh, there he is.
Wow.
We're saying something.
Eager is he?
1-900.
Caller, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. I can barely hear anything with these headphones.
Yeah, I know, right?
Hold on.
Is that better?
Yeah. All right, we got you. Better.
Yeah.
All righty. All right. Hey, Tony, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest, man?
Man, I mean, geez, man, what is there to introduce? This is the one, the only. Same thing. Why don't we do our little thing and we go around and, you know, do our Twitters and stuff like that? Then we'll give them the proper introduction.
Okay, let's do that. Let's start off with the man to my left in the Lions hat.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I was waiting for you to say something.
I'm laying out, man. You go ahead.
No shade? All right.
Go for it.
What's up, everybody?
Pepper Cow.
Answer to that. It's Chaos. I'm Kyle. You can even be on Twitter and Instagram at Team Chaos. Like I said, I don't tweet. If you tweet me back, I'll get the notification, but I don't tweet. Facebook, Kyle J. Campbell. And yeah, Lions.
Other Kyle.
Yeah, Lions.
Yeah, Lions. This is the other Kyle. You can find me at Detroit Knockout on Twitter and Instagram at Detroit NOKOUT. Find me on Facebook at Kyle Collison.
All righty.
I will kick you in the dick.
That too. If you're a dick, I will kick you in the dick.
And there he is.
I kick you.
And I am Devin. You can hit me up on Twitter at DevinTheSixThree. That's DevinTheSixThree. You can hit me up on Instagram at AllSteakNoSizzle. Hey, if you're looking for a car, check out SouthfieldQualityCars.com.
There we go.
Oh, producer Randy.
He's just thumbing his beard.
When you go in to purchase your vehicle, use the reference code 19309. That's 19309.
Is that 1939?
No, it's not. That's 19309. The man to my right in the Bullet Club hoodie.
And he was there. Okay, now.
Hey, Devin, any chance you can get a new promo code?
I'll give him a call. See what
producer Randy hates that shit. Everybody
on Instagram and Twitter is __ made in the '80s. On Facebook is Kevin D. Russ. Tweet me. I probably will respond back.
He probably.
Probably.
I was waiting for him to say I changed my Twitter.
I did. Nope.
I just look like, who the hell just added me? Oh, that's Kevin.
Oh yeah.
All right, Mr. Thunder.
That's
yo. Go ahead and introduce her. I guess.
Man.
Probably.
I finally. No, I'm lying. I didn't get the Twitter. I saw your face, man. I know you was ready.
I was going to ask you about that because I tried to tag you in our tweets promoting it and it wouldn't let me.
Is the Tony Thunder on Twitter? Because Tony Thunder is taken for some godly reason by some guy who hasn't tweeted since 2012. He got no followers and he follows nobody. I've been trying to, report his profile, but it's nothing like Facebook's where I can get him in trouble for not tweeting or nothing. So it's just like a 2012-ass profile.
You didn't tweet, you're in jail.
Yeah, man. Shit.
Hey, Tony. It's me.
Oh, we got the corporate in the house.
You some bitch.
Yeah, we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting after the show.
Nah, you know what? That's the hook for Festivus. That's our match.
Oh, Festivus is going down.
Festivus is going down.
It's Tony Thunder speaking of Festivus, man. We got one of the most professional of wrestlers. He is dedicated to this. This is his passion. This is a beast. This is... just signed again with Ring of Honor.
Yes, sir.
This is Shane Taylor. How you doing, Mr. Taylor?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. Thank y'all for having me on. Appreciate it.
Hey, we appreciate you being on the show, man. Why don't you go ahead and throw out your social media, everybody?
All right, Twitter and Instagram at Shane216Taylor. Of course, you can always find me on Facebook, Notorious Shane Taylor. And also, if you are in the merch buying mood, hit up prowrestlingtees.com/Shane Taylor. A bunch of brand new designs just got put up. Doing some big, big stuff right now.
All right. And Shane, you're going to be here in Detroit in May, man. Why don't you talk about that real quick?
I'm going to be in Detroit here in May.
Well, at least Ring of Honor is going to be here in Royal Oak.
Royal Oak.
Okay, okay. As far as all the information for the show, they let us know like a few weeks ahead of time. So if you want to find out more information about when Ring of Honor comes to Royal Oaks, please go to ROHWrestling.com. They'll have all the live event info, ticket prices, where it's going to be, parking, all of that stuff. That's the corporate side of it. I just show up and punch guys in the face. So, they don't tell us all of that, but, if you're interested in going to the show, please ROHWrestling.com. Go look that up. And while you're there, sign up for Honor Club, brand new streaming service for ROH.
Oh,
you
nice.
Get first access to behind the scenes footage, half off of pay-per-views, all the TVs, the whole ROH archive from the beginning. Guys like Samoa Joe, Danielson, Nigel, Tyler Black, all those guys, all the guys that are now tearing it up all around the world, you know, all got their starts basically in Ring of Honor. So go check that out.
All right. Anybody looking to go to that show, you pretty much can't because it's sold out.
Yeah, it's sold out. It's sold out like hotcakes. Yeah. And it's because some people thought and heard that Shane Taylor was coming.
If you want to tailgate, we can make that a thing. We can start ROH tailgates. You know what I'm saying?
We should start.
Let's go. Now we're talking.
Are we doing karaoke afterwards?
Absolutely.
Last time
I heard Ring of Honor show was here in Dearborn, I heard they did karaoke right after the show. And like it was like an after party. Dope. It was an after party and all the wrestlers went across the street to the bar and they all did karaoke.
Hell, I was there. Hey. If I'd have knew that.
You was there.
Hey.
Read the bell. Read the bell.
What song would you do, Shane? What would you do if you did karaoke? What song would you pick right now?
Oh, right now? Though?
Right now. It's your turn. They called you up. They said, what song you doing?
Depending on the mood that I'm in, would have to be Hit Him Up by Tupac.
Hey! That's our thing, though.
Not bad.
I mean, if I'm still in the fighting mood, I feel like that's the song that's going to bring it out of somebody. You know what I mean?
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's.
I definitely have to go with that.
Yeah, that's the theme song to our show, man. That's a great choice, man.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of getting people hyped up to fight, you know, I think the black people's version of mosh pitting would be getting crunk. You know, back in the Lil Jon days, when you hear, put your hands right. where your fist right. is. You know, it's all.
Did that die out? Do we still get crunk like
Atlanta
that?
Atlanta does.
Hey, Atlanta do.
Atlanta still wear tall tees, though. But, you know, you have Tupac. You know, you show love to Tupac, man. You got the name Notorious Shane Taylor. Is that a shout out to Biggie? Where did the name Notorious come from?
That actually has nothing to do with B.I.G.
Nice.
It just happened to be that's what people reference it to because that's where they most commonly place the name.
Right.
I got that. Basically, you know, if you've read any of the other articles that or interviews that I've done, I talked about growing up on the east side of Cleveland, Ohio, and getting into a lot of street fights and things like that. It was a pretty bad area. So I've actually had that name since I was a kid.
So it's not a gimmick. It's a way of life. You earned that name.
It's kind of really just me. And it's so funny now that I've kind of grown and matured as an adult, as a father now. You know, I'm getting ready to be a husband this week. It's one of those things that when I flip to that mindset and I switch to that mode, people. It's kind of a shock because they're like, oh, you're so nice. But yeah, they have no idea. Like 10 years ago, I'd have ripped your heart out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so,
he's saying he bought that life, you know, just in case anybody wanted.
I mean, it's like, yeah, and you catch me on the right day, it might still happen. You know what I mean? So, it's just one of those things that, but now, as I've learned and have grown and learned how to be a businessman and a marketer, I sort of just keep that. And if people want to connect it to B.I.G., cool. If they like B.I.G. and want to support him and think it supports me as well, then cool. You know, if I put out a few designs playing off the images and they want to buy those, then cool. You know what I mean? Nice. But the original thought behind it had nothing to do with B.I.G.
It came from people catching those hands in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Kyle, you got a question for, I guess?
Which one?
Which
Kyle?
Which
Black Kyle?
Hey, Shane. I know you were in Ring of Honor with Keith Lee for a while. Mm-hmm. He's honestly one of my favorite wrestlers right now. How is it working mm-hmm. with a guy like him? Because you guys are both pretty big, but you're both agile mm-hmm. also. You're like not the stereotypical prototype big man. I mean, you're kind of like the mm-hmm. new breed of guys that are, you know, over 6'2", 6'3", over 300 pounds, but you guys can do stuff off the top ropes. You guys are agile. So how was it working with somebody like that that had like a similar like body type to you? Was it surprising to see somebody else that, you know, kind of had something similar to you? Were you surprised by anything he was doing? Was he surprised by anything he saw from you?
Surprised? No. I mean, when you look at a guy like Keith, he's got, you know, you're talking about a guy who was a Division One football player. The guy's, you know, right there. You're talking about an elite level of athlete that, you know, most human beings don't ever they hardly ever see that level. You know, so once I learned that stuff about him, what he did in the ring was like, oh, okay, well, yeah. I mean, it's cool that he can do that. Like, so it wasn't surprising. It was refreshing and exciting to know that, you know, I had a tag partner that wanted to be the best at as much as I did, who wanted to leave his mark as much as I did, who wanted to put himself as well as the community and his hometown on the map just as much as I did. And so late part of 2015, late part of 2016, we started to team up across Texas at places like VLP and Branded Outlaw. And then when we went to Ring of Honor, they took notice of us and started to use us there. And of course, you know, the feud with War Machine is the first sort of national exposure that we got as a team. And it's been, you know, lights out since then.
We've been knocking down the door since then.
So mm-hmm. what made you decide that I'm going to be a professional wrestler?
What made me decide that I wanted to be a pro wrestler? Yes. I actually, you know, growing up, we didn't have a lot, but what we did have was pro wrestling. So 3 or 4 times a year, my family would order the pay-per-views, and it would always be at somebody else's house. And we'd all go over there. It was like a big family thing.
And, that's back when it was only 4 of them a year, right?
Yeah, I mean, I want to say there was maybe 6, maybe 6 then, but we would at least try to get 3 or 4 of them. Like, I know Mania was the big one, mm-hmm. and we would try to maybe do King of the Ring, and then maybe SummerSlam or Survivor Series or something like that.
Yeah, and the Royal Rumble, that'd be fine right there. See, I showed my age by saying back when it was only 4. people look at me and think,
hey,
I'm
man,
22.
That's crazy. Like, yeah, because they're like every 2 weeks now, and I'm like, who pays for that? Like,
yeah.
We'd all do. I mean, $9.99, that's what they got.
$10 right. a month. $10 pay-per-views back when it used to be $50.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. It had to be. They had to do something like that, because there's no way you'd be getting folks to pay $100 a month for pay-per-views. Yeah.
Right. And piggybacking off of Kev's question, who did you look up to most, or was there any guys that inspired you to be that when you looked at that guy, it was like, man, I want to do this because of this said person? Or was it just pro wrestling in general?
The moment that got me into it was my dad took us to the Ridgefield Coliseum in Ohio. And I remember watching Kerry Von Erich versus the Warlord.
Ooh,
and I know most people say, you know, Hogan and Flair and Michaels and all that, but nope. Kerry Von Erich and the Warlord went through a double count out at Ridgefield Coliseum in like 96. And the place went absolutely bananas. You had people throwing shit. You had, sorry to cuss, but you had people throwing stuff.
Oh, no, we rated it.
Say whatever the fuck you want.
So you had people throwing stuff. You had, you know, fans booing. You had beer. You had this. And I'm just sitting there as a kid going, holy hell, how did these two men get this whole building that mad? They don't even know them. You know what I mean? Like, they act like they did something to him personally, you know? So once I saw that, I was like, I need to figure out what they do, because I want to have that sort of effect on people. And then growing up, I was always a big kid. So for me, you know, I never really related to the guys with the 20 pack and the baby oil and all of that. Like, I saw guys like Stan Hansen and Vader. Oh, yeah. And I went, oh, okay, those are just big badass dudes who are just punching the shit out of people. I can do that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah.
You know, got guys like Bam Bam and things like that, Terry Gordy. You know, I was like, all right, we're just gonna go out there and start smashing cats. Like, yeah, all right.
So it's not like you're a big fan of Japan.
What? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That was actually my in wrestling, my number one goal was to go to Japan. Not necessarily to have a career there, but to at least be able to say that I went one time and that I showed out, and they got to see the best version of me. And now with Ring of Honor, you know, the opportunity is there, at some point to maybe hopefully impress enough to be able to do that one day.
Kyle, you got a question for, I guess?
I was just going to say.
Which Kyle?
Yeah, obviously the white guy this time. it was funny, man. You were naming all the stuff with Kerry Von Erich. The first thing I thought of was the cage match with.
There he is.
There you go. My microphone's not working. But you were saying all that. It was making me think of the cage match that Kerry had with Flair where they slammed the door on him at in mm-hmm. World Class. You know, I was just watching. I was just watching the ROH 16th anniversary pay-per-view. You know, tell us a little bit about some of the stuff you got going on currently with Ring of Honor. I've seen you've been helping out SoCal Uncensored lately. I watched the match with the TV title stuff. A whole bunch of stuff. So tell us a little bit about what you got going on and the whole hired gun and all that stuff.
Well, again, that's all things that, you know, translate back to me growing up in Cleveland. You know, for a long time, I was doing a lot of stuff, even though I was, you know, raised right. Like, when you're in that area, you just, parents are working all the time. You get a lot of free time. You know what I mean? Yep. So for me, I was just running with my cousins and running with other folks. And the thing that we used to do is we would fight drug dealers on our corner. Because we didn't want them selling drugs on our corner.
So y'all, you know, was the black club.
Basically, like, I mean, like, we would just start lumping cats up, and, you know, and in Cleveland, it, like, a fight's never really done when you think it is. Like, so it's always just constant stuff and escalation and things like that. But, right. So eventually we got to the point where, I was one of the best fighters in our group, so we would kind of just start shaking guys down. You know what I mean? Like, before they came to us, we went to them.
Right.
You know? And so I used to kind of get paid to just go beat people up. that's kind of where it came from. And my thing is, win, lose, or draw, you're going to know that you were in a fight with me, you know? So,
so once now, again, it's not a gimmick.
Yeah, I mean, that's really just me. That's why it's always so funny when I hear people say, "Oh, you're so nice. He would never do this. He would never do that." Or, "You have no idea." you know, growing up and being a dad now, you know, obviously I'd never want my daughter to see that side of me. So I work my ass off to make sure that never happens. But yeah, now with SoCal Uncensored, you know, I'm not in the group. Christopher Daniels and Kaz and Score Rubio Sky, over their decades plus of wrestling, have amassed, you know, bit of cash to be able to put away to pay me for my service. So right now that's what's going on, you know, whether it be Bullet Club or whether it be the Kingdom or whoever. You know, whoever pays the most, that's where I'm going. I'm loyal to the money.
There it is.
Well, Shane, you said you're from Cleveland, man. This is not necessarily a wrestling question, but how excited are you right now to be a Browns fan, man?
but I've been a Browns fan my entire life. So
I'm sorry.
Sorry for
I'm
you.
Always excited.
Don't let them talk too much crap, man. We Lions fans here.
I'm always excited for like the first 4 weeks, and then it goes away.
And then after that, it just all bottoms out.
So, yeah. Sounds like being a Lions fan, too.
Yeah, we know the pain, man. We Lions fans.
That first
here,
week is so good. Then after the bye week.
The first 4 weeks is like, we can do it.
Preseason.
Undefeated.
And the first right 4 weeks, you're like, hell yeah, this is our year. Yeah, we got this. Yeah. And then you're like, 0-5.
Oh, all right. Hey, man, welcome to the 0-16 club, yeah, man. Y'all couldn't leave us there by ourselves, man.
Welcome.
Y'all couldn't leave us there by ourselves.
We welcome you with open arms.
You made us feel a tad bit better. Yeah.
I've never rooted for the Browns as much as I have. I'm like, please. Just mess this up. We need somebody else in.
Join us to the 0-16 club. We need it.
We need them to have paper bags on their head.
Yeah. Hey,
I feel like that's been a thing since like 2012. I feel like I've seen that a lot, you know. But yeah, I still haven't gotten really to sit down and check out all the moves they've made, but it's looking good.
Oh, man, 2 first-round picks, 2 second, 2 third-round picks. Just got Tyrod Taylor.
Free agents. They can...
Jarvis Landry. Uh-huh. Yeah. Hey, I'm watching out for y'all, man. I think the Browns going to be pretty good in the next 2-3 years, man.
And the thing that's crazy about it,
now too. Now we just need an O-line to bolster the O-line and to keep the defense off the field, and we're good.
Sounds good. In a division where a lot of things are about to change, too. Steelers about to go down. Ravens aren't that good anymore. It's time. It's their time.
Bengals.
Yeah,
the Bengals.
Oh, God.
The Bungles.
Lewis, can we start? That's a Cincinnati and Cleveland rivalry right there, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but for me, like, the Cincinnati rivalry is more like little brotherish because
we know about that in Michigan too. We have a little brother up here too.
They're in state, you know what I mean? It's still Ohio, so it's like, but you get to Baltimore, that raises it up. And of course, you talk about Pittsburgh. Now that's, you know, that's where it is.
Right. All right. Another question for you. One thing I've noticed about a lot of your matches is that you don't like getting punched in the face, man. it's like if someone hits you in the face, man, you jump into a whole other dimension, and the next thing you know, like, they're scraping them off the ground, especially like Cheeseburger, man. What is it about getting hit in the face that pisses you off so much, man?
I honestly feel like it wakes me up, and it's the complete opposite of what you said. I actually do like getting punched in the face. That's kind of what gets me going. Like, if you ask guys like Ray Rowe, you know, who trained me once, I can sort of get complacent at times because I know what I can do physically to people. So I start to take it easy. And then at some point in time during a match or whatever, you get woken up and you realize, like, okay, now I get to put my hands on you for real. Like, you know what I mean? Like, have you ever seen I'm sure you guys have all seen Luke Cage, right?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
Remember the scene where Cottonmouth is smacking the dude around and just busting the shit up, and then he spits blood on him and he goes, "Now I can use my hands."
I remember that.
That's what that is. That's what that is. So it's like, all right, yeah, we'll do this. Yada yada, and then wham, and it's like, okay, cool. Like, now I get to turn this on and not feel bad about it.
Yeah, because I feel bad for Cheeseburger, man. I'm like, he tried his little 110-pound heart. He just tried so hard, man. It just did not go well for him.
Was that more of like a receipt, or was that more just like you turning it up?
Well, I mean, Cheeseburger is the man. You know what I mean? Like, there's very few guys that I've met in any sport that I've competed in that have more heart than him. Oh, so. Nice. I really didn't want to put him down like that, but I can't, you know, not get an opportunity because I feel bad for him. So at the end of the day, I had to do what I had to do.
I feel you on that. And, you know, speaking of Cleveland, man, coming up from Cleveland, if you look at Cleveland and pro wrestling, there's a lot that goes into pro wrestling that came from Cleveland, man. Who are your favorite guys from Cleveland, or is there anybody from Cleveland that you want to work with that you haven't or anything like that? Because pro wrestling in Cleveland, man, like, we could go into the rest of the show talking about that, you know. But is there any certain promotions that you would like to work in Cleveland specifically, or guys that came from Cleveland that you really look up to or would like to work with or anything like that?
You can't talk about Cleveland wrestling without first mentioning, you know, the guys that helped build that space up, guys like JT Lightning,
absolutely,
who have, you know, paved the way and created opportunities for not only myself, but like I mentioned, Ray Rowe, EC3, Johnny Gargano, and just a whole laundry list of guys. And right now, Cleveland is, if you look at who's on the WWE roster, I want to say Cleveland has the most guys there of any city.
Yeah.
If you were to line them up, because you have Gargano,
Ziggler,
Ray Rowe, EC3, Ziggler, The Miz. That's five, just off the top of my head.
You look at TNA, you got the Chris brothers. You got Sammy Callahan.
The Chris, I mean, they're from Dayton, but
oh, they're from
Ohio
Dayton. Okay.
Overall.
Hey, my bad, Jake. I mean? My bad, Dave. I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
Don't hit him with a baseball bat.
It's all good.
Ambrose. He's from Ohio. I think he's from Cincinnati, right?
Like, and I want to say Callahan's from the Cincinnati area too.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And if you look, and if we're talking about like totality. Of Ohio, you got Kelly Klein from ROH. She's from Ohio. BJ Whitmer. Ohio is repping pretty good right now.
Definitely.
Pretty good right now.
And y'all got one of the best promotions
to
me out there, Chris Hero.
Chris Hero from Dayton.
Absolutely. And AIW, one of the best promotions to me in the U.S. right now, is from Cleveland. From Cleveland, right?
Yep.
There you go.
They based right there in Cleveland.
Shout out to John Thorne for that.
So. Every show we ask a wrestler, was their pet peeve in the locker room?
Oh, no. I appreciate that, man. You tried it. I appreciate that.
We tried to steal Tony Thunder's
wonder. Tried to steal my shit, man. Let me ask this correctly, man. All right, man.
So
we got this thing we do where all the wrestlers that come on the show to the aspiring young guys, the green guys that may be listening, you know, up and coming wrestlers, we got locker room etiquette list that we're doing. But actually, we're going to go to break right quick. We're going to ask you that when we come right back. Well, you said break, Producer Randy. What's up with that, man? Producer Randy.
You can finish with this guest and then we can take a break, or, you know, finish with the questioning and then we can take a break.
Okay.
It's not like we have to cut. We're not.
Well, I mean, he's not
time, you know. We're not up against the commercial break or anything like that.
Our Producer Randy and Pepsi is calling us right now. All right, we got this thing that we do for locker room etiquette, where we got a list where either you can add to the list or you can either go into further detail of one of the things we put on a list. Josh Movado went into great detail about shaking everybody's hand, why that's such a big thing. Salim Erekat said to wash your gear after every show. Congo Kong said make sure you wash your balls. Human Tornado said keep your baby mama and your kids out of the locker room. And if I miss one, I apologize. But is there anything you want to add to that list, or anything you want to go into further detail about?
Ooh, those are all good things. Me personally, it has to do with the stuff that you put on. Like, I hate that hot stuff shit. I hate that. I hate guys that lather themselves in baby oil, shit like that. Because I'm like, bro, your life is in my hands. You really want to be fucking slippery? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you go up for a suicide dive or a plancha or something, and I got to catch you, and you got half a bottle of baby oil on. Come on, my guy. Like, so, baby oil, reduce that. The shaking hands thing was good. Also, leave your problems wherever they're at.
That's a real
thing. We all have issues. We all have problems. The last thing that I want to do as I'm getting ready for a match or trying to get my mind right is to hear about the 20 million problems that you have at home. Like,
keep the trauma out.
It's unfortunate, but that's not, you know what I mean? That's not why we're here.
Definitely agree with that.
Let's go.
Hey, Shane, can you hang out through this little break and talk with us for maybe like 10, 15 more minutes?
Yeah, it's all good.
Okay, we're going
to take a quick break.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we have more from Notorious Shane Taylor.
Notorious. What song we got? Oh, R.I.P. Craig Mack.
R.I.P. Craig Mack.
That's a piece of Craig Mack. Mack.
Right.
Yo, Mack, I don't even understand how they didn't understand you in that band.
Bad Boys.
Hey, if you all want your producer dancing all in the videos, come to Death Row. Fuck Adam Nielsen.
Hit him with the sugar. Huh?
We are back, people, and we have the baddest motherfucker from East Cleveland, Mr. Ooh. Shane Taylor, online.
Yes,
Mr. Collison, you have a question for our guest.
So
hold the damn dough.
Another thing, you were talking about just how you came up, you know, fighting in the streets and stuff. Another thing I noticed from your matches, especially in the triple threat you had with Kenny King and Punishment Martinez, man, I love the fact that you like to talk a little bit of shit while you guys are in the middle of the matches, man, because I heard you calling out Punishment, laying up against the ropes, calling his ass in. Is that like a mental war game thing for you, or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, to me, there are a few ways that you can demoralize your opponent. And, you know, like, one of the best quotes that I've ever heard from Mike Tyson is, I don't intimidate people by tall who can shit. I do it by hitting them. You know what I mean? So for me, once I start hitting you and I see that you can't really take it, or once you hit me and I see it really didn't do shit, like, I'm going to turn that shit up because I already know it's a wrap for you, you know? And it more so gets me going than having anything to do with my opponent. It gets me moving. It gets me jacked up. And if it gets in your head, then it's only going to be worse for you, because once I eat a punch or two and you realize that your best shot didn't work, you start to question yourself. You know, and that's way more damaging than anything that I'm about to do. So it only helps to finish you off a little quicker.
There it is. And shout out to Mike Tyson. My favorite Mike Tyson quote is, "I'm gonna eat his children." I just wanted to throw that.
I broke my back.
I mean, I broke my back. Mike is so under, like, he's so underrated as far as his mind for boxing and his mind for mental warfare. People just want to write him off as being crazy, but there was thought, and there was, you know, there's a lot of great points that he made. Like, most people just think, I'm going to eat your children, just like you said, but they're not worried about the fact that he's throwing 7-punch combos.
And right.
Hard as hell to hit defensively. And each one of those shots, he's trying to put through your fucking head. Like, so, like, once you stop thinking about him as a fighter and think of his personality, you've already lost the fight, because the last thing you need to do is stop worrying about the skill set he brings to the ring.
Right. My favorite one from Mike Tyson, coming from a boxing background, was when he said, "Everybody's got to play until they get punched
in the face."
Yep, you can ring the bell, motherfucker.
He used to box.
Everybody's got to play until they get punched in the mouth, because, man, it's funny. Everybody's a tough guy, but and you know, we were talking about that TV title match. You know, are you still trying to go after the TV title, or are you still just running out hits or whatever comes next, or what's your next plan, man?
I'm greedy, man. I want it all, you know, and right now I have a style that, you know, win, lose, or draw, I'm going to go out there and throw bombs and see what happens. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, you know, but if I land one, you're going to sleep, you know? So right now it's just a matter of putting the pieces of my game together that, you know, leads to more wins in ROH. But right now, man, I'm having fun beating folks up, taking money. And if some titles come along the way, then great, you know. And when it comes time for me to really focus on that and really take that next step, then I will. I'm not worried about that. And to go back to the Tyson point, though, one of his quotes that gets overlooked, and I think it was maybe his best one, is, if you want to be the greatest to ever live, you have to beat everyone living.
Damn.
That's deep.
Yeah, that's the truth, though.
That's deep. That's
put that on my
mind. That's deep. That's tattoo worthy.
So when you look at guys and guys that I want to wrestle and things of that sort, if I want to one day call myself the best in the world, you know, it starts with getting in the ring and beating guys like a Jay Briscoe or a Jay Lethal or a Kenny King or a Silas Young or Punishment Martinez. Like, so I definitely have goals and aspirations to be that guy. And pretty soon here, you know, I'm going to start putting those pieces together.
You were talking about titles, and that kind of leads to the question I had. And Mr. Campbell, you can come after me, mm-hmm. boss.
whoa.
That was for Randy.
That was.
He didn't have a bell. He usually rings the bell whenever a giggity comes.
He gave it a Jeffrey from the Fresh Prince look like.
All right.
But my question is, and I heard you talk about this on a show. I can't remember the name of the show. But you were talking about African-American world champions. And we talked to Booker T a few weeks ago about this. We talked to Eric Bischoff and Bruce Pritchard about this same subject. Who do you think is going to be that next African-American world champion in any company? Can you see yourself being that person? And two, why do you think there hasn't been a lot of African-American world champions throughout time?
Oh, okay. That's a two-part question. So let me answer the first one. Right now, if you look across wrestling, we're in a, especially independent wrestling, you have guys leading the way in that aspect. You look at Keith Lee, who is the WWN champion. That's a major, you know, a major company.
Yes, sir.
That Evolve runs through, and the number one guy in that company right now is Keith Lee. You look at a guy like Shane Strickland, who has not only held the Wrestle Circus titles, but CZW. Currently, I want to say he's the Defy champ in, you know, out of Seattle. And he's held championships from major companies all across the world. ACH right now, you know, VIP champion in Dallas, Texas. I want to say he holds some more titles across the country as well. You know, so you've got guys right now that are sort of taking that torch and making Kenny King, television champion right now, you know, a guy that are taking that torch and really sort of kicking down that door to let people know that we're here. And as far as the world champion, you know, why haven't we seen that? That's a two-part answer there as well. You know, it would be easy to say, oh, well, it's just racism or this. Like, that's one way that you could look at it. And to some degree, you could be right, depending on who's in charge.
Right.
But the way I see it is, this is a business. Okay. And in professional wrestling, you are catering to a predominantly single group. That's yes, everybody around the world watches it, but when you talk about marketing and who's buying merch and the majority of people, you are targeting one group. It only makes sense to have a champion and have characters that are going to best be able to relate to that audience. And a lot of the times it is very, very rare that you have an African-American star or any other star for that matter able to cross over and be just as beloved with that group as they are with their own.
Right.
Now, of course, there's always the argument to be made that you could showcase them in that light and put them in spots to make them successful, you know, and that's very true. But then again, that's also a 50-50 risk. And no businessman that I know makes their money off of 50-50. You know, they like sure things or as close to sure things as possible. So that to me would be why you have very limited black world champions as far as, you know, guys that, have had that appeal. You know, you have guys like Booker T, Mark Henry and The Rock, you know, who were able to do that.
Do you think a guy like Big E could do that?
Do
you think a guy like Big E could do that?
He could, you know, he could. I know he was NXT champion for a while,
right?
You know, so it's not like they don't believe that he can do something like that. If that was the case, I would like to see. I want to make sure that I word this correctly. I'm more of a fan, and I was able to relate more with guys that were more serious athletes and not necessarily just either comedy acts or, you know, or just over the top sort of acts, really.
Right.
You know, when you look at when you look at those things, I was a huge fan of Ron Simmons because he wasn't walking around with chains on his neck and barking. He didn't have a bird or anything like that. He was just him. He was just a badass athlete who was whooping people's asses. He worked hard. He busted his ass, and eventually, you know, he accomplished his goal. You know, there are – I would love to see a John Cena character for the black community. Right. I would love to see that. Absolutely. A guy that no matter what, you know – beats the odds, a guy that no matter what, you know, always keeps going forward, is an inspiration to millions, and does all that, and not have there be an asterisk or a caveat next to it.
Speaking of, didn't mean to cut you, but speaking of guys who wear chains around their neck and bark, shout out to Rampage Jackson. I noticed that there's a lot of there's a lot of similarities between wrestling and MMA, mostly seen by the pro wrestler guys and guys who are in the business. They can see the obvious of the exchange. Are you into MMA at all?
A little bit, but you know, I was into it more when they had the characters that you invested in, like when you had a Tito Ortiz, when you had a Chuck Liddell, Randy Clues, who are guys that no matter what, win or lost, they just made you believe in those guys. And that's when I feel like that is when it more closely was like pro wrestling. It's funny because I've always said that there's an element of pro wrestling in MMA. You can take that however you want, but when you start to see more and more guys jumping out of that sport and into ours, and more and more and more guys basically cutting wrestling promos and doing all this, like it's the line is starting to blur. And what really makes it funny is the fans now. The MMA fans who were all shit talking wrestling years ago. Mm-hmm. Now that their sport is more morphing into pro wrestling, now they're kind of stuck there with their hands, you know, with their thumbs up their ass going, oh, well, you know what I mean? Like all that elitist shit is gone, you know? So,
right.
So it's very cool to see guys now starting to make more money and starting to step out into that limelight. You look at a guy like McGregor, for example, who's taken the world over.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time,
that's a hell of a promo.
The UFC to, oh, yeah. I mean, for the UFC to continue its growth, they've got to create more stars. I feel like their biggest stars now aren't even fighting. Jones is gone, Rousey's gone, and McGregor's not there.
Right.
Like, you can't just have... You can't put all the emphasis on just a few people, and then once they leave, still sustain that business going forward with guys that you basically have told the public were average. You know, all respect to Cormier, but I don't see him, even though he is the light heavyweight champ, I don't see him as the champ because, in my mind, he got beat by the champ. Like, you're not the guy. Like, they may say you're the guy, but you're not. You know what I mean? Like, until you beat Jones or until you do something that we can say, hey, you're the man, it's just, I don't know. I just don't see it. Now, granted, I could be alone in that, but I just don't see it.
Now, to piggyback off of something you said about the growth of independent wrestling, with the Ring of Honor's working relationship you guys have with Impact a little bit and what you have with New Japan, how is that for the culture there, knowing that guys that are working in one promotion can kind of jump around to other promotions, get more eyes on you, and it's not just people having to tune in at 1 o'clock on Ring of Honor. They can actually tune in, I don't know what channel it is, for Impact, or they can actually tune in and find some of the same guys on New Japan. How is that working relationship for somebody that works in Ring of Honor to see, like, the different things from a little bit of Impact and New Japan Pro Wrestling mixed in?
I don't necessarily think they have a deal to work with Impact. I think when you have certain guys, like, for example, Oz and Aries came back during Vegas, that it's just one of those things that he's an anomaly of that sort because he has the ROH ties. It's not necessarily a deal with them as opposed to just a deal with him in the singular. but to have the working relationship with places like New Japan and CMLL and Rev Pro in the UK, it's only good because you get to send talent all around the world and have talent come there and really let guys grow and learn and mature and expand their games. And if you have platforms to be able to not only just have domestic stars, but international stars to bring to your brand, then it only helps business.
Anybody got one last question for our guest?
I do got one question to
yes, he Tony does.
Off of what Tony said with the whole MMA thing. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are as far as, like, for one example, like we just heard that Jack Swagger is going to go fight over there in Bellator. And on the flip side, what are your thoughts on, like, a Shayna Baszler and all them that are coming and
from
switching
MMA into
MMA into pro wrestling? What are your thoughts on both sides of it?
I wish them all nothing but best luck. You know, I feel as though if you think you have the ability to go do that, then by all means, try it out. You know what I mean? You only have X amount of years to be an athlete and do that. If you feel that if you've got the skill, do so. And as far as guys coming here or people switching sports to come to pro wrestling, that's great. I do think we're going to get to a point where we've got to make a choice, though, because if every ex-MMA fighter that comes here is supposed to be a killer, then eventually it's just going to be the point where we're all just going to have to learn that, or we're all just like, it's going to be all or nothing, right? You know, because something's got to give. So either every MMA fighter that comes here is instantly going to be put above your average pro wrestler just based on that skill, and that would require then anybody that's trying to be a pro wrestler to have that training already, you know, just how kind of like a few years ago in the UFC, you could just be a good wrestler. And that was enough. Now it's not the case. Now you got to be a good wrestler. You got to be good at jiu-jitsu. You got to be good at this. So with pro wrestling, if that's the case, and this is the, you know, switch to, you know, a more believable, more realistic form of pro wrestler, then that's just something that guys are going to have to start, you know, adding to their resume.
Well, Shane, man, I appreciate you being on the show, man. Before we get you out of here, do you have anything that you want to say to your fans here in Detroit, or just people out there in general? Anything that you want to get off your chest? You want to call somebody out? Want to give an inspirational quote or something like that? Just anything you want to say to the people listening and watching?
I just want to thank you guys for the last 10 years or so of supporting me in this crazy world of pro wrestling. Just put pen and paper on my second ROH deal. Looking forward to signing many more. Can't thank you guys enough. We're gonna make this year a year to remember, as well as the next few. And besides that, again, you know, Twitter, Instagram at Shane216. Taylor, ProWrestlingTees.com/Shane Taylor, ROHWrestling.com. If you want to go grab the shirt there, you know, my Knockouts for Everybody t-shirt. And again, just a big thank you, and see you guys in May.
And there it is.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. Like I said, that Ring of Honor show is sold out, man, but we'll probably hang out if we do that. That tailgate thing, man.
Yeah,
we'll be
on. Devin, you're 6'3", so if I get on your shoulders, I could probably see.
We may be onto something with that. not a lot of people do wrestling tailgates. That could be something that's a new market, right?
We should start that.
Yeah, we might have to do that.
We should start that.
It's honestly right down the street from the studio, too, man, so we might be.
Hey,
you bring we'll be
to have you come up here or something, man. Drop us a couple drops or something.
I'm down.
Yeah, we'll definitely be in contact, man. But once again, thank you for doing the show, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Peace. All righty. Shane Taylor, y'all.
Hey, yo.
That was good.
Shout out to Notorious, man.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's the first time that all of us been in the studio at the same time. I just want to say shout out to the whole squad.
Shout out to everybody.
Shout out to Pepper Kyle for being in the building. He like once a month, he part time in the studio, but he show love like when it's Johnson, needed.
Like the guy whose shirt you got on your back. Hey, I ain't tell, no damn part time.
Don't tell nobody about no the shirt I got on. I got on the Rat Pack hoodie. We got enough time, man. Devin didn't bring his pen and notepad like he usually do, so we don't know who won. From this past weekend.
Wait, we're actually talking about wrestling of just the four of us?
Five of us?
Five,
damn, he doesn't even know how to count right. Hot damn.
You ain't say shit all whole show. Shut up.
Actually, Kev was the most quiet this show.
Yeah.
Or as he called himself when Spanky was here, Ken.
You called yourself Ken?
This is, my name is Ken.
That shit was funny as hell. You tried to squeak it in. So we got this thing where the locker room.
Say it with your chest.
Steal my shit.
I think he's gonna catch it.
Why is squeaking in there?
Like I'm kind of next to him, so I want to say
it too. He was like, "We do this thing where we got pet peeves."
He looks over at you like, "I'm sitting on your shit."
Do you like? He was looking at me like, "Am I saying this right?" I want to ask a question, but I know that's a question we usually ask. Am I saying this right?
So even though we got 4 minutes left. Most of y'all went to Raw. How was that?
2 minutes just now.
Kyle, you go first.
He's not wrong.
He's already pissed. But Raw was cool, man. I always just enjoy being there. I thought it was a good show. My only critique, the whole thing that kind of bummed me out, I thought they should have had Rousey on the show.
They advertised her, didn't they?
Yeah, they said she was supposed to be on every Raw.
They should have had Roman.
Until
more
Mania.
Roman.
I liked what they did. To be honest, I liked what they did with Roman at the beginning of the show.
Shoot promo.
It was good.
Hold on. Don't do your fingers like that when you love when the Miz shoots. Don't do that.
No,
Roman.
That's been the Miz's thing for a while. This thing with him, it's reminding me of another guy did it a couple years ago and broke.
Hold on, he got the politician hand going. He got the politician hand going.
He reminds me of somebody who used to call people out. He used to call McMahon's out. He used to go, kind of bring the backstage politics. Oh yeah, CM Punk. They're orchestrating CM Punk now when they didn't do it fully a couple years ago.
I disagree with that fully, but I will say this. You love the Miz. When the last time he defended that title, man?
You really love him because you talk
about
him.
When the last time he defended that title?
How many times Alexa Bliss defended
her making it relevant,
title?
Right? He making it relevant. When's the last time he defended the title?
How many times Alexa Bliss defended her title
She defended
year?
It more recently than Miz did.
I can't. Nah.
Yeah, more
She's
recently
defended
she
once
did.
This year.
So, yeah.
Has Miz defended the belt this year?
So, yeah. Let me controversial statement coming. I would probably never go to another TV taping again.
Oh, damn.
Raw
what
or
happened?
SmackDown.
The one thing I don't like is you can't hear the announcer, so it's just watching. They need to have some sound to actually
It's not
you
that.
What you don't like indie shows?
No, that's an intimate setting, not a big arena.
And that's the point. Like, I don't like watching Asuka lay on the ground for 5 minutes during a commercial break.
Yeah,
it bothers me, man. I knew this was going to be a pet peeve of mine going into it. This is my first time ever going to a Raw or a SmackDown. I don't think I could ever do it again.
I said
so only house shows and pay-per-views.
If it makes you feel better, and all the times I've been to a TV show, I've never really seen them ever do that where like they laid on the ground. They always usually wrestle through their
She stayed there for the whole time?
My first time.
Speaking of Raw this past Monday, they were there.
What'd you say, Ken?
The first time I went to Raw, I was like, okay, so... He just sitting in the ring doing nothing while they wrapping up the tape for 205.
Yeah, right.
That kind of made me mad a little bit.
I hate Kevin Owens' music because the last time I went, he was in the ring for like 6 minutes while he went to the commercial break. Right. His music's just playing and playing. I'm like, I used to like his music. Oh, I hate this shit now.
Well, real quick, we got anything coming up?
Festivus.
We don't talk about Festivus on the next. We should have talked about it tonight since we were all here.
It's not official, but we're working on that. But.
They don't even know what it is yet, but just know that it's coming.
Festivus.
It's coming. Festivus is official. It's not just like an imaginary thing no more where I'm going against the Miz. This is an actual thing that's taking place.
Keep calling them out.
If you don't like the Reality Era page or the Motor City Wrestling Alliance page, we kicking your ass out if you don't like the Knockouts and Three Counts page. If you are in that group, and you don't like our page, it's going down. I'm yelling in the mic so I can sound like shit.
Start racing. Shout out to admin, damn it.
All y'all is too.
I'm not.
Oh, wait.
Any shows coming up, Tony?
Do I got any shows coming up? Yes, actually, this Saturday, I'll be at Price of Glory. That's Dan Severn's promotion out there in Coldwater, Michigan. Come see me and Sean Tyler pack it up as we do, as we take on Arthur. And, oh, man.
Arthur?
That was a...
Arthur?
See, I don't even know their ring names, so let me try.
Oh, I was about to say, that was your ring name.
Yeah, I don't know their ring names.
Up that's like the guy from the show?
That's what you picked.
I forgot their ring name. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't want to call out y'all real names.
Kev. Oh, yeah.
Fuck Adam Nielsen.
Throw your social media out there, too.
Tony Thunder. Tony Thunder.
Yeah. You got anything coming up, man?
Bing it.
Bing it. No, not really, but I know we got merch coming soon.
Yes, sir.
Stay tuned.
All right, throw your social media out there real quick.
On Instagram and Twitter, it's __ Made in the 80s. On Facebook, it's Kevin D. Russ. And add the Reality Era news page.
Yes, sir. Mr. Collison.
We do got things coming up. April 14th, we will be at the TXC fights that have been changed to Burton Manor in Livonia.
Yes, sir.
And also be on the lookout March 27th. We got Marco the Hybrid Smallman coming in here, as well as past guest of the show, Muneeb. We also have
shout out Muneeb.
April 3rd, when we do our pre-breakdown for WrestleMania, we also will have a dude that's growing quite the celebrity over there in Albania, and it was on the UFC contender list, Adrian Hargabij, and his brother may be coming in with him too. So be on the lookout for those, and if you want to see somebody come get their ass kicked, go to the TXC fights.
Muneeb going to be whooping some ass, that's for sure.
Yes, sir. Mr. Campbell, got anything coming up, man? Oh, wait, hold on. Mr. Collison, throw your social media out there.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, @DetroitKnockout, @DetroitNOKOUT.
Bam. Mr. Campbell.
Probably going to have something coming up soon. I'm still in the blueprint phase, but when I find out and lock everything down, you guys will know. I'll probably be on the Podcast Detroit Network. Other than that, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, @TeamChaos, Facebook, Kyle J. Campbell.
Okay. Shout out to Gen X Media.
All right.
Gen X Media.
For those of y'all that want to go see NXT TakeOver, WrestleMania, come to Buffalo Wild Wings downtown. We're going to be...
Downtown what?
Downtown Detroit.
We're going to be in Detroit?
Yeah. We'll be partnering up with fellow shows from Podcast Detroit, the Breaking Down the Ring show. We'll be there.
Wait, what? I did not notice.
This is my first
time. I'm sorry.
Why am I just running this?
I was about to say, I don't read none of your damn group texts
because
I
have
like 50,000 conversations and shit.
Breaking news, damn it. Breaking news. Yes,
can we get a siren? Do you have sirens?
Ooh. Well, let me see what I can find.
Let's get a siren up for this bitch.
Devin made his own siren for breaking news that we didn't
don't
know
make
about.
That breaking news. Just don't make that face.
He said, like, we should have knew. Now I got to tell my granny.
Don't make that face.
Like, I got to tell my granny that we're not even going
like
to where we usually go.
Looks like Pat Harrison
having
a stroke or something.
How about this? How about this?
Oh, breaking he scratched news. The record. Cut the record.
That's so Dolph Ziggler.
Well, he made his own siren. That's okay.
I'll do it again.
Oh, breaking news. All right.
Yeah, so Breaking Down the Ring and Knockouts and Three Counts will be working together too. Brain NXT TakeOver. But New Orleans? Yeah, New Orleans. Yes,
that's where they at.
That is April 7th at Buffalo Wild Wings, downtown Detroit.
Oh!
Yeah.
We all start doing that when we announce our guests. That's dope.
Yeah, save it.
I like that. Save that to the archives. But yeah.
I still want a siren.
But yeah, come on out. If y'all, you know, normally we're at Bailey's watching WrestleMania.
Normally. That's what my granny thought we was going to be.
But we don't do anything for TakeOver, so they put that together. You know, I said, hey, we'll definitely
come
out.
We
got
to make sure everybody that comes to Bailey's normally with us comes to Buffalo Wild Wings. Exactly.
So that Bailey's can see our pool, so that when the next pay-per-view comes, we can say, hey, look, you see these people that wasn't here?
Exactly.
We want our money.
I want them tacos for free.
Yeah. Free tacos.
And we got some other stuff in the works. Nothing's official yet, so we won't talk about it. But, yeah. Oh, if you're looking for a car, Southfield Quality Cars, make sure you check that out.
He needs a new code.
I might go there Saturday.
I'm going to work on a new code, but until then, the code right now is 19309. No, it's not 1939. It's 19309. Go in there.
1939.
So it's 1939.
Nine.
There you
go.
Did you carry the two?
Oh, cut the record.
Thank you.
Hey, if you want to know Tony Thunder's actual social media profiles, visit KO3CPod.com for links.
Nice plug on the website because nobody else was thinking it. Producer Randy for the win.
Coming in the clutch.
Social media, I'm Randy.
In the clutch.
Follow me on Twitter @RandyWalker or on Instagram, RandyWalker83.
Shout out to producer Randy for keeping us in line.
Anything coming up on the network? I know it's had the podcast meetup last week. Anything else you can think of?
ITND this Thursday at Embryo and Ferndale.
When's free podcast?
Casual networking event.
When's the next free podcast day?
It's every first Saturday.
Every first Saturday.
Go to podcastdetroit.com and sign up. Yeah.
I'll have to sign up even though I'm part of the network.
Yeah, we have to actually schedule you time.
Yeah, so
you can't just show up because, you know, there might not be a studio free at that time.
Hashtag reasons.
So, hashtag the reason that we're here.
All right.
So, hey, it's good. It's good seeing all you guys in the studio, man.
Hey, man. First time. We made history today.
Ain't seen y'all in a... Nah, I ain't gonna say
it. In a fortnight?
Nah, I was gonna say the racist one.
Please don't.
I don't know it.
Quintessential. All right.
Quintessential is the word of the podcast.
With all that being said, thank you all for listening. We'll check you all next week. Mr. Collison?
Fuck your couch.
I beat me to it, you bitch.
A kick in the nuts.